Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the newest episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Appreciate every single one of you. I'm your trusty host, Neil Horwitz. You can follow me on Twitter at NJH287 and check out previous episodes and more content at dsmsports.net. Really excited about today's show. It's not too often we get to talk to someone from the National Football League, the NFL, and we're going to be talking to Lauren Whitaker and Chris Burdett, a couple of digital media all-stars that are working for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll talk a little Pokemon Go, NFL strategy, and everything under the sun. Really fun conversation coming right up. But first, you have this episode's helpful tool. And this episode's helpful tool is a mobile app version of something we've actually discussed before on the podcast, and that is the mobile app PicMonkey. They just came out with a new and improved version of the app. It has a lot of functionality that's somewhat similar to what you would see on their website, but that and more. You can add a bunch of filters. You can doodle on your photos. There's a bunch of stickers you can add. Of course, there are all the great filters that you can use, and really an easy, fun way to dress up your photos and make them fun for social media. So instead of screenshotting that Snapchat picture and sharing it on Facebook or on Twitter, or trying to do something cool on Instagram or even Prisma, you can really do everything with the PicMonkey app. It's a great, easy way to create a quick little quote graphic, or dress up a picture from that Getty might provide you, or even a simple smartphone picture that you want to make look better, or dress up a little bit with doodles or stickers. So I think you'll have a little bit of fun with it. Certainly get creative. And I love the desktop version as well to create some easy photos for you. It's sort of like a Photoshop for dummies. And I am indeed a Photoshop dummy. And I love the new app so far, finding it very useful to create some quick, easy graphics. So give it a shot. Download it. Have some fun with it. Play around with some of your photos and take some new ones and see what you can create. So that's this episode's helpful tool. It's the PicMonkey mobile app, spelled exactly like you think it would be, P-I-C and the word monkey. All right, that's this episode's helpful tool, and we will be right back to have a football-filled conversation, among other things, with Lauren Whitaker and Chris Burdett from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay, that was this episode's helpful tool, and now we are very delighted to be joined by a couple of folks working in the NFL world. Our first dual guest podcast for the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. We are joined today by Chris Burdett, Senior Digital Media Manager for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Lauren Whitaker, who is a Digital Media Manager for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast, Lauren and Chris.
Thanks so much for having us. For sure.
Thank you.
Looking forward to the discussion, and I think we're going to have learn a lot from you guys today. But first off, let's hear about your career paths. I mean, everyone wants to work in sports and do what you guys are doing. So if you could tell us about where you guys came from, how you came up in the game, and any tips for folks that want to do what you guys do.
Absolutely, yeah, I'll start off. So I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio, born and raised. And my dad was actually Air Force, so that was in large part why I was in Dayton. He was stationed there. And in terms of college, I got my undergrad at the University of Cincinnati and got out in 2007. And luckily, my first job straight out of college was with the Dallas Cowboys. So 23 years old, jetting straight to Irving, Texas, and was only there for about a year and 4 months. My skill sets weren't exactly where they needed to be at the time. So it was a huge learning experience, and I knew that ultimately I wanted to get back into the NFL. So I headed back to Ohio and really just started bolstering my skills in the area of web and web design and web development. Was designing websites and building websites really free of charge, and was wow. able to land a job with a nonprofit in Cincinnati, Ohio, and was there for close to 2 years, but I knew that I had the urge to get back into the NFL, and came across the Cleveland Browns, and got hired with them back in June of 2012, mm-hmm. and was there for almost 2 years, and kind of wrapped up with the Browns, and jetted to Florida, and had a small stint with Florida State, and really wanted to get back into the NFL, and found myself here with the Jacksonville Jaguars, working with Chris Burdett, and it's been a great ride thus far.
That's great. It's really interesting to hear you hit on
To be able to say to yourself, I don't have the skills yet to do what I want to do. I mean, especially coming up at that time where digital was growing so quickly and obviously social media was just coming up in the game. I mean, was there a sort of that aha moment where there are these skills that I know I need to get where I need to go? And how'd you go about sort of getting those skills?
Well, I will say, as far as the social aspect is concerned, that was something that I kind of learned along the way while I was with the Cleveland Browns. So it wasn't something that I quite had under my belt and was ready to hit the ground running with. But as far as, you know, the web development and the web design aspect of it, I was absolutely ready to roll.
And Chris, how about yourself? What's the Chris Burdett story?
Well, interesting enough, almost a little bit different than Lauren. I initially never envisioned myself to be in sports. I got to be honest with you on that. Like, right out of the get-go, from high school, I was actually on a career path to be an astronaut, of all things. I was a kid at 3 years old that wanted to be an astronaut, and I was also the kid at 18 years old that still wanted to be an astronaut. So at that time frame, I actually, in my senior year of high school, had everything geared up, ready to go to get to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical School out of Daytona, USA. And I was an officer in the ROTC program for the Air Force and had everything in line. And one thing led to another. And the story is I actually was sparring my best friend while I was training for my second dan in karate, and I blew out my knee. And when that happened, once I started healing and I went back to the ROTC program, they said, unfortunately, you can't continue the path that you're going down. You won't be able to fly anything that pulls more than 5 Gs. And in order to be an astronaut in the NASA program, you have to have at least 4 years' experience of flying fighter jets. And at that point, I had to do a full 180 on my career path. I had to figure out what I wanted to do. And my dad actually gave me the idea and said, well, you like designing band posters. You like putting together websites for your friends. And that's actually a career. And I was like, what? I just do that for fun. He's like, no, it's called graphic design and web design. And that was actually the time frame where I started looking into the field that I'm in now. And did a full 180, like I said, from being pretty much going to be a military kid to being an artist, per se. And I got into the University of North Florida. I actually started at the University of Florida initially with their business program, and realized in order to actually get into the full depth of what web design is and what the digital media field is, you don't really actually have to have a major in business. And I found the University of North Florida. They had one of the most prestigious programs when it comes to graphic design, and started my career path there. For my first few jobs, I actually ran a freelance graphic design ad agency, if you want to call it, that was based out of Miami. Did some work here in Jacksonville. And my first official job actually was with web.com here in town. From there, I actually got a call from my old professor at the University of North Florida saying that the Jacksonville Jaguars are looking for a web designer. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. And he's like, do you want me to drop your name? And I'm like, yeah, why not? Let's see what happens. Within a half hour of me saying yes, I was getting a phone call from the Jacksonville Jaguars asking if I can come in within the hour to do an interview. And I was like, I'd love to, but I'm currently still at work at the moment. How about tomorrow? And they're like, yeah, sure, that works. And as I was walking in to do the interview, I had to like step back and take a second and go, okay, I'm about to interview with the NFL. My career path has nothing within the environment of anything sports or even entertainment. The majority of what I did was really for nonprofits and artists and musicians. But they liked my portfolio. They liked my work. They gave me the opportunity, and 5 years later, I'm helping run the digital team here for the NFL for the Jaguars in the NFL. And it's been an amazing experience. I always grew up being an NFL kid. Funny enough, about an hour ago, Lauren and I were talking about reminiscing, being that 12-year-old waking up early on Sunday mornings, watching NFL Countdown, watching the NFL films, reels that they always ran, and I just would never envision myself being here. But one thing led to another, and that true old statement of, you know, things happen for a reason, I definitely believe that, because the flip side is if I did go down my career path of being a officer in the ROTC program, I had a good friend that continued on with the program, And he actually got stationed out in Iraq and really never got to get to the level of where he got to go to NASA and everything. So things do happen for a reason, but that's my story in a nutshell when it comes down to how I got into the NFL.
just your normal traditional path through an NFL job, of course.
Yeah, you know, of course. Everyone, of course, gets the NFL that way.
I love that. Well, Lauren, I'd love to pick your brain real briefly about, you know, seeing both sides of the picture with college and NFL, and, you know, especially having that stint at Florida State between the two NFL jobs with the Browns and the Jags. I mean, do you find that the goals and the resources are similar, or is the NFL just hands down just so much more than what you were able to do with the Noles?
I would say that there's a fair amount of restrictions on both sides. You know, so for instance, if there is a player that is looking to commit to Florida State, I can't necessarily say on Twitter, oh, so and so is committed to Florida State, because, you know, we have to be compliant with, you know, the compliance office. So you have your restrictions there. Now, on the flip side of that, let's say that, you know, there's a particular song that we would like to use for a highlight to be used on Vine or to be used on Twitter. You know, college can get away with, you know, using a popular song anywhere from 6 to 9 seconds, whereas, you know, we can't quite do that. We have to go through the motions of getting the rights in order to be able to do that. So, you know, from both sides, it's you do have your limitations, but in terms of fun, I would definitely say that the NFL is a lot more fun. There's a lot more flexibility in what you're able to do and who you're able to engage with. From a college standpoint, you know, it's all about recruiting. It's all about selling to the student why they should be a part of that university and represent that university, whereas, you know, the NFL, it's you know, in my opinion, it's all about the fans. You know, I think the NFL provides a getaway for fans, and you want to provide them the best experience possible, whether not necessarily just on the field, but off the field as well. You know, the best possible experience. You want them to, you know, leave the game and go home saying, wow, you know, despite, you know, win or lose, I had a really great time.
Oh, I love that. It's certainly interesting and not too surprising to hear that it's all about recruiting in the college space to a large degree, where the NFL, you know, it's obviously getting fans out to the games and keeping them engaged all year round. And actually, Chris, I'd love to hear your take, Chris, on being in that market down there in Florida, where obviously you're not next to Tallahassee necessarily, or, you know, right there in Gainesville, but do you have to pay attention to the sort of dichotomy of college football fans that live and die with their Gators or their Noles versus the ones who are NFL fans and potential Jaguars fans?
Yeah, I think it's more so a matter of embracing the culture and seeing how they do actually cross paths and how they can merge over time. Perfect example, over the last couple seasons under Dave Caldwell, we picked up some Florida State players, some Florida players, and we actually just went out to Tallahassee and conducted what we deemed the Tally Takeover. We went out there with Telvin Smith, a couple of the other players that we have on our team that are from Florida State, and showed that, you know, yeah, you follow these players throughout college, but it doesn't stop there, and that your love for the game still can continue into the love for the game for on an NFL level. But it is interesting because throughout my childhood, I moved probably to, I think it was 10 different states, and really until I got down here in the Southeast did I ever even realize how important college football was to this community. Previous to living here in Florida, I actually came from New York. And up there, like, you would hear a little bit here and there about, like, Rutgers football and Syracuse, but it was nowhere near the level of, like, we painted our truck orange and blue because we bleed orange and blue, or we have 55 flags on our car that are all Florida State because, you know, we have to make sure everyone knows we're hardcore Florida State fans. But that passion, you could definitely see trickle over, especially as of late when we've been recruiting a little bit more locally, even to the Blake Bortles pick. It's cool to see UCF fans come out and support our team, you know, just based off the track record of Blake being, you know, a winner for their team. So again, it goes back to more so, you know, embracing the two cultures, seeing how we can, you know, cross the two paths, and, you know, show those fans that it can be just as exciting on Saturday and on Sunday equally.
So is it not so much competitive, or fans have to choose, I'm either going to go all in on Saturdays versus go all in on Sundays? Are you able to effectively capture those fans who are, you know, wear their Noles jersey or their Gators jersey on Saturdays and then change it to the Jags jersey on Sundays?
I would say yeah. And, you know, you're still going to have that split to an extent where you're you only have so much time in a weekend, so you got to choose one or the other. So we do have the fans that will be a little bit more selective where, you know, if there's a good matchup where it's, you know, an interdivision matchup on an NFL level, you know, they'll be here. But, you know, if it's one of those games that they have to get to make sure they get to, you know, within the top 10 of a college ranking, you know, they're going to be there on a Saturday. So there is that split here and there, but I think more so over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, I've seen it almost just be blurred and be equally as exciting for a fan from a college and NFL perspective down here.
Interesting. Well, I'd love to hear from you, Lauren, on, you know, you haven't been in the Jags as long as Chris has, but you have had the, you know, the look into what the Cowboys are doing, what the Browns were doing with your time there. Where were the Jags in your mind when you arrived compared to, you know, other NFL teams, and even for you, Chris, as well? You know, how has digital really accelerated in your time, in your guys' time the last few years?
I don't really consider the Cowboys to be a fair assessment, simply because that was around the time, of course, you know, your Facebooks and MySpace were around. But at that time, I think organizations were sort of tiptoeing into incorporating that into their business model, their strategy. And by the time I had gotten to Cleveland, it was definitely full-blown a part of the organization, and you know, you started to see more job postings and necessities around the social area. In fact, I think, you know, there's quite a few universities where you can actually major in social media. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I was in school, you know, that wasn't available. But in terms of where the Jaguars were, I would definitely say it was night and day. And I say that because even when I was with the Browns, we were constantly looking at the Jaguars site to find out how we can take some of their techniques and, you know, really just kind of use them as ours. Funny story, at the time, we were going through mobile vendor changes, and the first thing that we did, or the first thing that I did, was reach out to Chris and say, hey, we really like the Jaguars mobile app. We're looking to possibly do the same. So, you know, that's in large part, you know, really where the friendship between Chris and I truly got established. And, you know, a lot of what, at the time, the Jaguars were doing, we were trying to do as well. And, you know, we still hear it too from clubs. In fact, I got an email from the social and digital manager from the Bengals. I was giving him a hard time with their Snapchat channel, and he told me about a couple of weeks ago that they've really improved. And I wasn't necessarily looking for him to take any action, but I think it's cool that they did. And, you know, he too told me, hey, we're looking at the Jaguar site, and whenever we want to do something new and different, you guys are always the first that we go to. So I would say, in terms of generating ideas and having the ability to execute it, it's 100%, where it's not necessarily like that with all clubs. And it really, too, just kind of depends on, you know, what the focus is. Some clubs are, you know, hey, just regardless of how we do in ticket sales, you know, make it about the fans and nothing but the fans. And with other clubs, it's, you know, tickets, tickets, tickets. Now, granted, with us, it is a lot about tickets, but we are able to find a decent balance in being able to engage with the fan. Great case in point is our event that we're having on Monday with the Pokemon Go, you know? I mean, we are literally going to see an audience of several demographics, whether they enjoy football, whether they enjoy the Jaguars, it doesn't matter. We said, hey, this is what's in. We like it too, and we want you to come to our backyard and have some fun. So
I love that. Yeah, I was all over seeing that information out recently. You guys promoting the stadium will be open for Pokemon hunters, I guess. I don't know what the proper terms are. But if you guys could, take me inside a little bit of how that comes together. I mean, is obviously someone stumbles upon the phenomenon that is Pokemon Go, and maybe it's you, and then you go to Chris and say, let's do something with this. How does something like that actually come together, and who has to sort of buy in to make it happen?
Well, funny enough, I'll admit I'm a huge nerd. It kind of, you know, goes hand in hand being a programmer and within the web world, but I will embrace it and be proud of it. And with that being said, I am a 20-year veteran when it comes to being a Pokemon trainer. And, I bought into the phenomenon right away. I've been waiting for something like this. I remember when I was a kid carrying around my Game Boy and having the brick in my pocket, and now it's just, you know, a different device playing the same game, and the nostalgia that's tied to it is just great. It's cool to see people come together over something as simple as, you know, granted, it is just an app and it's just a game, but I've heard some amazing stories of, you know, people finding stranded animals and helping them out to a lady's grandfather passed out on the side of the road, and it was a couple Pokemon Go trainers that actually notified the ambulance to get out there, and even the paramedics said, you know, if someone didn't say something, this gentleman could have easily passed away, and it's something as simple as that. So just that concept behind it, and me being, like I said, the avid Pokemon player, I threw the wild idea towards our marketing VP, Steve Ziff, of, you know, allowing fans to come in the stadium. Our stadium has 3 Pokestops, which is the correct terminology for areas you can interact in the game, that you can't access unless you are actually inside the stadium. And seeing that it is the off season and this is as crazy as it is, we figured, you know, let's embrace it. Let's get the community in here. Let's create that environment and allow it to foster within the stadium. And we'll have on Monday anything from a Jaguars fan to probably someone who doesn't even understand what a first down is. But at the same time, they're interacting with our brand. We're out here having a good time. And when it comes down to it, that's what we look for. And Steve, thankfully, was all about it. We were able to work with our partnership team and get some backing from FanDuel to help open up the stadium, because opening up the stadium is not just, you know, opening the front gate and everything's good to go. We have to make sure we have security here. We have to make sure there's accommodations for everyone that's going to be walking through. We'll be playing music throughout the stadium that will be Pokemon themed. It's going to get to the point where at the very end, for those of you who are listening who are Pokemon fans, we've made an exclusive badge that you'll be able to get if you complete the route. And just looking forward to having a good time on Monday night and, you know, seeing Jacksonville out here and embracing what is, what I see at least, a great phenomenon right now.
That's awesome. And tell me about where digital and social kind of lives for the Jaguars. I mean, you mentioned that the first kind of person or the person that had to sign off on it before you guys could really go into it was the VP of marketing, Steve Ziff. Does digital fall more in the marketing realm for the Jags, or is it obviously across the departments, but where does it sort of fit into the overall infrastructure?
Well, officially, we fall under the marketing department. Mm-hmm. But to your point, we literally interact with anything from the players to our foundation, to our sponsorship team, pretty much every single branch of the organization, especially in this day and age, needs to be able to reach their fans or reach whoever the audience is they're trying to get to. And with everything being so heavy digital right now, you know, that's how we see ourselves. We are that vehicle that is able to get that message to whatever audience, whoever is trying to, you know, pretty much we're there to deliver when it comes down to it. And on a daily basis, we change out hats. Today alone, again, right before this phone call, you know, I was talking to Lauren. I was like, earlier today I was talking to a legal team trying to wrap up a deal. Then I put on my designer hat, and I was actually creating a lot of the signage for the Pokemon Go event on Monday. And then I flipped gears again, and then I had to walk over to our PR team, and we went through the ideation process of what we're going to be doing for training camp and how we're going to activate with the players on the day they arrive, and, you know, for our open scrimmage that we're going to have. And then we switch gears again, and, you know, something happens on the site, and I have to go put on my coder hat. So it's a fun experience, because every single day I walk in, I never know what's going to happen. To an extent, you know, you kind of have a blueprint for the day, but a perfect example is that Pokemon Go idea. I literally just was like, yeah, it'd be kind of cool, and it's so crazy. I'm sure we could probably get, you know, a good amount of people here and have a great event for our fans. And everyone said yes, and I was like, oh, okay, we're doing this now. So, yeah.
How do you guys go into it then and try to justify the value? I mean, obviously, there's fan engagement, there's the foot traffic coming to the stadium, but then is there also a piece where, okay, how are we going to capture our fan data? How are we going to track this? What are the KPIs for this campaign, I guess, to justify its value?
Yeah, you know, that is a facet of it. It's not solely what we're doing, but it is a facet of it. Anytime we do an event, probably about 2-3 years ago, we started switching over to using a digital sign-up. So through Jaguars.com right now, if you go to Jaguars.com/Pokemon, you can go ahead and get your digital ticket to come to the event. So we're able to get a little data from there, and then really, hopefully, with all the additions that we have to the stadium, people who haven't been to the stadium in a while, who may be casual fans, might be like, wow, I need to get out here, you know, catch a Jags game. This just the environment that they've created over the last couple of years, ever since our amazing owner, Mr. Khan, took over, it's just been night and day. I actually started back in 2011 when the Weavers were here, and they were absolutely phenomenal. Definitely, you know, family-oriented, great, great people. But when Mr. Khan came in, he just had a new vibrant energy to him. He saw what this town could, you know, potentially be. And I remember one of the first days he was here, he's like, I look at Jacksonville and I don't see it any different than Pittsburgh or Dallas or any of those fandoms that are international. And, you know, we have the presence in London now, and we're playing games on a regular in the UK. We have a full fan base that's based out of the UK now. So it's just a different kind of feel, and that excitement in itself is just awesome. But going back to your question, you know, we saw it as a potential way to get people who might not normally get to the stadium and you know, maybe want to see a little bit more when it comes around to the season, and they might, you know, get some single game tickets, and yeah, all of a sudden we've created another fan from something as simple as, you know, catching a Pikachu.
Totally, I love that. And Lauren, for you, obviously you have to make sure that you're educated on how Pokemon works, but I want to go back a little bit further, because you had the opportunity to come in, and Mr. Khan was just getting, you know, imprinting his footprint, I guess, so to speak, on the organization. So I guess since you've been there, like, who were the Jags as a brand, and as fans perceived it as a brand in the community, and how has that evolved and changed? I mean, doing something like Pokemon, that ties into the brand perception, of course, and is obviously intentional.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be fair, today's my 1-year anniversary, so I haven't really been able to have a true, fair assessment, but what I've seen thus far, you know, Chris nailed it to the T, for sure.
Excellent. And Chris, for you, you know, how have you seen it play out since Mr. Khan came in and replaced the Weavers? With how is there a lot of intentionality behind this is who we want to be on social, on digital, and this is the brand that we want people to perceive us as?
Yeah. And to carry that spirit over that Mr. Khan brought in as far as innovation and being, you know, the first with a lot of things. I mean, we're the first to have the world's largest scoreboards. We're the first to have pools in the end zones. And there's a lot of things where he wanted to make sure that we created this environment of fun, yet professionalism at the same time. That's the reason he went out and got Gus Bradley. That's the reason he went out and got Dave Caldwell. We, as an organization, truly believe in them and see the potential of what this team can be. I mean, after the draft, I don't know how many times on social we saw Jaguars are going to the playoffs, A-plus draft across the board. This is the team to look for. This is going to be that dark horse team. And it all comes down to, you know, Mr. Khan making that shift and seeing the potential in the city. And beyond, you know, just the Jaguars, he truly does love this city to the point where He's invested in it. We have the One Spark Conference every year, which is a crowdfunding conference that allows people that have simple ideas that could potentially be a massive corporation down the road, get people to, you know, have that, you know, eyes on whatever that project may be. We're about to roll out an amphitheater here that's going to be amazing right along the river. It's going to be at this point, the largest venue we have in downtown. And these are all things that he personally wanted to bring to the city. And to see the spectrum go from what it was 5 years ago to where it's at now, it's just absolutely exciting. Every single day, I know I already said it, it just keeps changing, and to see it evolve, we carry that in what we do. So when we digitally are trying to figure out what we want to do for our fans, we want to make sure that we're being the first. Last year, we rolled out the emoji keyboard that had anything from Mr. Khan celebrating to Blake Bortles with a teal tongue sticking out. That it's simple things like that. We know what our fans are interacting with. We know how popular simple things like emojis are. And we said, you know what, let's deliver something. Let's deliver something special for our fan base, because we are a smaller fan base. We are a smaller market. For the longest time, I've been a personal Jaguars fan since 95. That's actually when I moved to the Jacksonville area. And we a lot of times get a bad rap when it comes down to our team. The notion of we never sell out seats and all this is just like this cloud that hangs over our fan base from a national perspective. And we just want to change that perspective. And it seems like since Mr. Khan's been here, we've been able to kind of pull back on that and show how awesome the city can be and just deliver what we are as, you know, Jacksonville Jaguars and what we envision ourselves as that team.
I love that. And yeah, I think just all that stuff, you know, the cabanas and the separate events, it really just sounds like everything under the sun, an incredible entertaining experience now in addition to the football. And then all of a sudden last year, you look up and it's like, if you didn't know any better, you're like, okay, all of a sudden the Jaguars are a potential playoff team now. And now coming in this season, you know, you're more accustomed thinking of the Jags of, you know, who they're going to take in the top five or top 10 in the draft. And now you guys are really competitive on the field and with high hopes for the season. So how does that affect the marketing planning and the content and even how you guys portray the team? And all of a sudden now you guys don't have to plan on, are we going to be a 6-10 or a 7-9 team? And now we can actually plan on being in the playoff picture throughout the entire season. Does that go into how you plan for this upcoming season and even play up the hopes of the fans in the off season?
Yeah, I mean, the offseason is always all about hope, no matter what team you are. Everyone's starting on that even playing field, but with that extra excitement that we have going into this season, you're correct. You know, we had A-Rob and Allen Hurns named, you know, two of the top receivers within the league, and now that we're able to have those marquee players, we're able to hit a larger audience, because for how popular fantasy football has become, having those key players is a huge factor when it comes to what we do for content and how popular our content will be. And, you know, really the reach of the content will vary depending on who it is that we use or who we are specifically featuring. It definitely comes into our strategy. The meeting I was mentioning earlier where we talked about what we're going to do for training camp, we were already throwing around ideas of giving, without, you know, revealing everything, but giving exclusive access to our fans and seeing the game from a different perspective, which could be as simple as putting a GoPro on Allen Robinson when he's walking out of the tunnel, to even some one-on-one drills during training camp and showing that right in your face moment that you would not get unless you're a true NFL player. With all that extra excitement and having those marquee players now on our roster, it does change the landscape of our content. And just referring back to when I first started, we were going through a lot of changes. We had, an interim coach for a little while there, and it was just a matter of trying to get that foundation established. I feel now that we have that foundation, it's just a matter of, building the house up from there.
Hey, you got me excited about some of that those content ideas, and it sounds like you guys do commit to being on the innovative cutting edge. And Lauren, I'd love to hear your perspective of being there this last year. Happy 1-year anniversary, by the way. I hope Chris treated you to lunch.
Thank
today.
You.
I love how much listening do you do and being proactive with seeing what fans are talking about, what content is resonating with fans, so that you can go to Chris, to Steve, and say, hey, you know, all the last couple of weeks, anytime we talk about Allen Hurns, or you know, the last few weeks, Blake Bortles, just any content with him is going nuts. And is that pretty evident, or are you keeping track of that stuff, and are you able to effectively communicate it to your colleagues?
Yeah, absolutely. Funny, actually, on the way to work this morning, I actually heard on the radio, and I hope I'm saying this right, but I think from a fantasy standpoint, the trio between Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, and Allen Hurns, it's like the number one choice in which fantasy potential players are trying to get on their roster. Like they just foresee that trio generating a lot of fantasy points. You know, any time what I'm able to see. From the inside and, you know, looking outside, is any time that we can make fans feel a part of what's going on here at the stadium within the organization, it's win-win. You know, it's what they seek, it's what they desire, and, you know, any time we can provide that to them regularly and really just kind of put them in the driver's seat in terms of what it is that we create, we really can't go wrong by any means.
So do you guys do a lot with whether it's crowdsourcing ideas or user-generated content, or how does those philosophy tend to play out in practice?
Well, when it comes to UGC, we love it. We really do. We always try to repurpose as much as we can of it. Once we get back to in-season, we always have a weekly article called the Social Snapshot, which will take anything from the game day hashtags, even just our hashtag Jaguars, and try to find our fans, you know, just showing what it is to be a Jacksonville Jaguar. And we'll use that for photo galleries to, you know, marketing campaigns to whatever it may be. And seeing that we do have the world's largest scoreboards, we have some really awesome activations on game day where fans can easily use either our game day app or just simply using a specific hashtag and see themselves up on the board. And then from there, we're able to, you know, take that content, repurpose it down the road. But yeah, to Lauren's point, we just want to make sure that our fans know how much we appreciate them, know how much we love that they're part of this team, and deliver the best content possible. Because a lot of times, you know, in a larger scale, when you go on ESPN or even the NFL Network, you don't get too much coverage when it comes to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which will soon change, mark my words. But until that team makes the corner and the national media sees what we are all about, you know, we're that main source of content. So when it comes down to the user-generated stuff, we obviously love to embrace it and want to make sure that the fans are heard, and they, you know, we are putting them in that light that they deserve to be versus what the natural perception is.
Most definitely. I love that. So the scoreboard stuff is huge, and when you guys have that big of a scoreboard, you might as well let fans be a part of it. So that's great. Just a few more minutes left here with Chris Burdett and Lauren Whitaker, working in digital media for the Jacksonville Jaguars. One more thing I had for you, and for either of you guys to speak on this, is obviously going back to when you guys both started your careers in sports and in the NFL. Websites were the big thing. Social media with Facebook and Twitter started to come along, and just keeps on piling up with Snapchat, with Instagram. You know, a little further back, and you know, new platforms seem to pop up all the time. Your game day app. How has that changed the way you have to allocate resources, and you know, does the website still feel like it's number one, or is it kind of a shifting thing as you guys go along?
Well, I can speak from when I first started. The digital team was myself and a senior web programmer, and that was it. There was two of us. Now we're to the point where I would say there's three of us that are dedicated to social media in the digital realm, but there's about 12 of us that all have some part within the digital realm. We have a video team now, where before it was just a matter of having a videographer. Now we have three videographers, two editors, two on-site reporters, And just the amount of content that people yearn for these days, we have to be able to deliver and deliver quickly. And with the mediums changing, like you said, Twitter is a perfect example. It used to be, you know, you can get a headline on that newspaper the next day and that's perfectly fine. Well, now, if you miss the headline that came out in a tweet 5 minutes ago, you're behind. So just that changing landscape makes it really interesting. To me, I think it's really exciting to see how real-time everything's getting. With Periscope, we're going to be doing some really awesome activations actually coming up in training camp. We have a really cool experience that we're going to have here at our training camp facilities where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are actually going to be up here practicing with us. That will lead to ultimately the preseason game. And we're going to be, featuring some of those practices on our Periscope, going live on Facebook now that that's another feature. And granted, it is a lot to kind of keep up with, but at the same time, I enjoy it. I really think it's a cool experience to see how quickly technology shifts and what we can do with it. And, content before, just simply having a podium presser or just a one-on-one interview was compelling enough, but now, with GoPros and even 360 cameras that we might be unveiling here in the next couple months, the landscape is just never ending and never changing, but in a good way.
Oh yeah, certainly. I love that too, and I think it really does speak to how teams and leagues are really content producers themselves. You guys are a content company almost, in addition to being a sports team, and it wasn't quite that way, 10 years ago, let alone 5 years ago. Cool. The last thing I have for you before we get to this episode's shareable stat is for, I'd love to hear from both you guys, I guess, is how do you define success with your digital and social content? I mean, there's so many different metrics out there and KPIs and engagement percentage, but at the end of the day, what are those couple of things that you guys look for and say this was a good campaign or a good social media post?
I would say probably engagement. Okay. Just to see how much we get from either an interaction standpoint or if we're doing a specific campaign where we're trying to get people at the stadium, just seeing, sign-ups. So really when it comes back down to it, I would say engagement is probably our number one stat that we're always looking at. And going back to being that smaller market team, whenever we can get something, whether it be content-wise or a campaign or whatever it may be, to hit on a national level, we see that definitely as a win situation for us.
Excellent. And when you talk about engagement, that can mean across the board. It varies across the platform, whether it's a video view or a share or a like or a comment.
Correct. Yeah. So I would just say the conglomeration of all those aspects to be the definition of what we see engagement, whether it be a social post that goes viral. And it could be as simple as earlier this year we had a Twitter battle with the Carolina Panthers on National Cat Day, to something as compelling as, some game day content where we got inside the locker room after a win and you got to see Gus Bradley address the team and just the energy of being in that locker room and being able to see that footage and have that be seen on anywhere from the NFL Network to, ESPN. That to us is what we're determining at the moment, at least, as a win. Hopefully as the team grows on and it gets a little bit larger and our fan base continues to grow, we may shift what our true idea of a win is. But I would say definitely engagement at the moment.
And Neil, not to backtrack, but I did want to go back to your last question as far as which platform do we foresee is potentially overshadowing or skyrocketing over the other? I think no matter what, each platform is going to be equally as important. And the great thing about that is we are definitely in an awesome position. And what I mean by that is we're here in house with the team. We can go to lunch and cross paths with Allen Robinson or anybody on the team, So I think we do a really good job and at least try to strive to make sure that our content differentiates what's already out there. If we're going to have the same headlines as SportsCenter or ESPN, well then you know, our fans are just going to go there. You know, we have the ability, because of the fact that we're in-house, to make it so that it's unique and diverse and different from everything else that's out there, because we are here with the team.
No, very, very well put, very well said. And I think, you know, you see some teams lament that they don't get to break news sometimes, or, you know, maybe someone is going to NFL.com or ESPN.com or the local newspaper. It's how can you guys use your access and your ability to reach players and coaches in a way that no one else can, because you guys are the team itself. That's a great perspective. Cool. Well, we're going to have a little bit more fun. I didn't even get to ask you about, you know, the Jaguars being London's UK's team. But maybe we'll get into that in our quick-hitting question segment. But first, we have this episode's shareable stat, and we'll be right back with that. Boom. Cut. Little exhale. That was really good, guys. That was fun.
Thank you.
I thought it flowed really well too. Like the I didn't even have to look at my outline at all. Just kind of one thing went to another, and you guys really were able to articulate what you guys do there. It's really cool that you guys have a reason behind why you do things, and it's not just, you know, throwing stuff against the wall all the time.
For sure. I mean, it's a lot of fun, and we're more than anything, we're grateful to be in the position that we're in. For sure.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a people get it too. Like there's buy-in from the top, and, you know, being this innovative and fun organization is not just paying lip service. You guys are actually able to execute what you want to say you execute. That's great.
Yep. Absolutely. All right.
That was the hard stuff. Now we have the easy fun stuff. So we'll get right back into it. So I'll open up as I'm coming off this episode's shareable stat, and you guys are both welcome to answer these questions. I wrote these originally with Lauren in mind, but I'm happy to hear if Chris, you want to chime in any. So feel free to interject. There'll be no break after the last question, and we'll go right into the podcast closing with your social media shout outs, and then we will say goodbye.
All right. Sounds good.
Let's do it. And thank you so much again. This is so much fun. I love hearing about team strategies and philosophies, and the Jags have been one I've been having my eye on for a while. All right.
Awesome. No, thank you, man.
In 3, 2, 1.
Really enjoyed talking to Lauren and Chris. A lot of good insights there, some fun stories, and even some good inside look into how strategies and campaigns go from idea to execution. But we'll have a little more fun coming up in our laterals with Lauren that we hear from both Chris and Lauren with some quick hitting questions. But first, as always, we have our episode's shareable stat. And this episode's shareable stat is all about ticketing platforms. You recently saw some big news with the MLS partnering with SeatGeek to really open up their ticket platform. Instead of going with just a single ticket provider like a Ticketmaster, they are opening up so that anyone that wants to sell tickets from a primary perspective can use the SeatGeek platform to put it on their website. Really innovative stuff, really interesting disruption to the paradigm, so to speak. And this episode's shareable stat is 49%. And that 49% comes from a National Consumer League study that looked at the average price increase above face value. And on the secondary market, sports and entertainment tickets saw an average of 49% over face value being sold. So what does that mean? Well, first it means that the teams and the venues and the entertainment events are definitely missing out on some revenue there, 49% above the face value, of course, and we're seeing the growth of dynamic pricing and variable pricing try to take care of that. But what it also means is that it's not so much about the money, and that's why MLS is making this move. It's more about who is buying those tickets, who values the tickets enough to be paying that much more over face value, and why isn't the team or the organization already working with that customer, working with that fan, and controlling that fan's data and ability to market to them and let them know what they're missing out on with other benefits of working directly with the organization or being a multi-game holder or a season ticket holder. So you gotta start thinking about, you know, is the open platform the way of the future? Are you really capturing the data of those fans who are actually coming to your games as opposed to the ones buying tickets as an investment, or even the brokers that buy up season tickets, or using bots to buy up tickets when they go on sale? So start to you got to really focus on the data capture of those fans that you're not currently able to reach. So it comes down to innovative ways to get data at games and giving them a valuable reason to give up your data. Maybe it is a freebie. Maybe it is an errand to win if those are effective for you, or getting them into a loyalty program where they can earn some free stuff. Whatever it is, that needs to be the focus of the strategy, as opposed to trying to, you know, find the right price. That certainly is still a big concern with variable pricing and pricing tickets more appropriately for the demand. But it's more about finding those fans that value the tickets the most and actually want to be at the games. Those should be the ones that you should focus on marketing to, not the ones that are savvy and see it as an investment, but the ones that really value it and see the value in that ticket as being their admission to something they truly value and find joy in attending. All right, that's episode Shareable Stats. Certainly a lot you can take away from it. Some interesting stuff going on these days in the primary and secondary ticket market. And the episode Shareable Stat kind of brings it all together with 49%. The average price increase above face value for tickets on the secondary market in sports entertainment versus the primary market. All right, that's episode Shareable Stat. Hope it gets you pondering a little bit. And we're going to be coming right back to you with some laterals with Lauren, having a little fun with Lauren and Chris as we hit them up with some quick hitting questions.
All right, that was episode Shareable Stat. And now we are right back here with Lauren Whitaker, Digital Media Manager for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Chris Burdett, Senior Digital Media Manager for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Had a great conversation about all things Jags and how they're engaging fans on a daily basis and making them feel special. You guys did a great job articulating some of your philosophies and ideas. Are you guys now ready for some quick hitting questions? I called it Laterals with Lauren.
Let's do it.
All right. Number one for you guys. We didn't have time to touch on this in the long form interview. So tell me briefly, describe the Union Jacks fan club, you know, what the club puts into it and why it's important.
Well, I'm gonna have to pass that question on to Chris because I'm still learning. So I think Chris can definitely expand upon that more for sure.
There's Lauren's first lateral, by the way.
Yep.
with that being said, our main goal with the Union Jacks fan club is to provide a platform for fans in the UK who are interested in the NFL, may not fully know the game yet, and some of the fans do, but the majority don't, and be able to bring them in a very, I would say, casual way is probably the best way to say it. We first initially were going to go over to London and play one game, and then we realized our fan base over there is so rabid and really loves to see the NFL that we ended up going out there consistently for a couple more seasons after that initial game. But the main goal there is to always have another fan base hold down the fort for us, per se, over there that are truly Jaguars fans. Every time we have an event out there, we have thousands of people show up. We actually just had a 7-on-7 tournament / if you want to call it football 101 school, where we opened it up to the public. They played at some practice fields over there, and they learned the game. And then after that, they were able to actually play the game. And we had a couple of our players fly overseas. Denard Robinson was out there and, got to learn the game by someone who actually plays the game. So it's just another way to show that we are committed to, you know, the UK fan base out there, and that, you know, we see ourselves as the Jacksonville Jaguars, but we are, you know, an international team when it comes down to it. Our fans are worldwide. We like to say Duval is worldwide. And by the way, I haven't been able to drop a true Duval, so I think we're going to take a moment here and just drop a Duval if you're ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Duval!
Oh, I love this. I mean, heck, with a name as catchy as Union Jacks Fan Club, I mean, how can you go wrong? That's just awesome.
Exactly.
Number two for you in particular, Lauren, or actually for both of you guys, you're both living in Florida. So tell me the best part of living in Florida, and Lauren, going back to your Ohio days, what's the best part of living in Ohio?
Wow. The best part about living in Ohio, I would say, is experiencing the four seasons. You don't quite get that in Florida, but what Florida has that Ohio doesn't have is the beach.
And how about you, Chris? What's the best part of living in Florida, besides the beach, I guess?
I would say the best part about living in Florida is we have two seasons. We have summer and extended fall. So when people are shoveling snow and dealing with the blizzard Armageddons that are up north, we're down here, you know, having cocktails on the beach.
Yep.
So can't go wrong.
I imagine it takes a lot of resistance to not just tweet at other teams or other social media counterparts when they're having a game in the snow and sub-temperatures and you guys are just chilling in the sun.
Funny story with that. When everyone was experiencing the horrible blizzard, I believe it either was last year or the season before, it seems to be more and more regular, but we went out on the field on game day and took a cup of ice and crushed it and put it on the field and put our helmet in and go, hey, look, we're experiencing snow too. We're a part of it. We promise. So, yeah, we have some fun with it.
That is both hilarious and unusually cruel.
Yeah, I know.
Number three for you guys. Which Jaguars player is the biggest personality and or best quote on the team?
I would probably say Jared Odrich, and then
I gotta go with my boy Telvin Smith.
Yep. And I let Lauren deliver Telvin because, you know, that's a little Florida State tie to her background.
Telvin is good people, and he can keep you smiling, that's for sure. He can keep you laughing.
It's always good to have some go-to guys in the room who, you know, will give you some personality all the time. That's great. All right, number four for you, and it may be coming up this Monday, who knows. Tell me your favorite Jaguars digital or social media campaign and why.
I'll just go ahead and say probably the one I'm working on right now, this Pokemon Go campaign. I had to post on my own personal social media accounts going, I never would have thought in my entire life that I would have the responsibility of spearheading a project where Pokemon and the NFL actually came together for a campaign. So, yeah, I would have to say this is probably one of the most fun campaigns that we've done so far.
I would agree with that. Chris and I are video game players, and this is like the one time that we can incorporate a video game into what we do, and it's awesome.
And then second to that one, I would probably say last year the Nike Color Rush campaign, if we want to keep it football-centric, that was a ton of fun. Being able to kind of keep things behind the scenes for a little bit while we knew that we're going to roll out a completely bold uniform, and just the activation around that campaign was just a lot of fun. And just to see, you know, the change in the uniforms. I'm a big uniform buff myself. I collect jerseys on the side. I have anything from 1994 U.S. soccer jerseys to old Elway jerseys. So it was just cool to see the uniform shifts and all the teams embrace that.
Oh, that's awesome. And how about, Lauren, for you in your Browns days, what was your favorite digital campaign you worked on there?
I would say my favorite digital campaign was the last week of the season in which we thanked the fans. So essentially what we did was every day to show the fans how much we appreciated them and to let them know that we were really, we wouldn't be there if it weren't for them. We had different giveaways every day of the week just to really show our fans that we appreciated them. I think it was called like Fan Appreciation Week, and I believe they still have that campaign, but it brought things back to perspective as to why we ultimately do what we do. So that was definitely my favorite in Cleveland.
Nice, I love that. Next one is for you, Lauren. Having spent a little bit of time with the Cowboys and a little bit of time with the Noles, two of just the craziest, most popular teams in the nation, which fans are crazier, the Cowboys fans or the Seminoles fans?
Oh, wow. That's tough. I gotta go with the Cowboys. I gotta go with the Cowboys for sure on that one. As far as the specific reason why, I mean, they're just on a different level, you know? Everything is bigger in Texas, and, you know, the Noles, I think they've always been on a very high platform, even in the days of Coach Bowden. But, you know, if I'm comparing the two, I would say that the Noles are a close second. There's a possibility that they could jump above the Cowboys, but That's a tough one, but I will go with the Cowboys on that.
We can both agree they're both kind of insane at times.
Yeah, they're intense, no doubt.
Number seven for you guys. I'd love to hear both of you if you have a different answer. The most memorable tweet that you guys have sent from since working with the Jaguars.
My personal one. Do you guys remember the Broncos-Jags game a couple seasons back? And I don't know if you remember this specifically, but the Broncos decided to throw out a tweet where it wasn't one of our better seasons, so I'll give them that, but they decided to put out a stat that Peyton Manning, within the last three quarters, has thrown more touchdowns than the Jaguars combined through the season. So at that point, I decided to work with our digital team to come up with a very clever comeback and directly tweet at them, "Stay classy, Denver," which turned into this massive, I don't know if you want to call it a rally or campaign behind us beating Denver that week, because it was kind of a low blow, I'm not going to lie. Like, you don't do that, especially when a team's struggling. We've never had any history with Denver where we've done anything malicious towards them. So I think personally that was one of my favorite ones. It's just the memories of me sitting there with my digital team going, okay, do we send this out? What do we do? I walked over to the PR and we're like, are you guys okay with this? And PR is like, yeah, that's, you can't do that. And sure enough, it blew out this huge thing where within minutes, it was on ESPN, we were having interviews about it, I personally was interviewed about it, and it was just a really fun week. Granted, we didn't end up winning the game, but we kept it insanely close, and what was cool to see is because of that simple tweet on social media, everyone became a Jaguars fan for a game because they wanted us to bring down the big bad Broncos that season.
Oh, I absolutely love that story. How about you, Lauren, from your first season with the Jaguars?
I would say for mine, it was actually this past season. It was the second time that we were playing the Indianapolis Colts, and we were absolutely just tearing them apart. And I think we ended up beating them by 50-plus points, and we sent out a GIF. I don't know if you're familiar with this GIF, but it's actually the rap artist 50 Cent, where he just sort of has this sarcastic look on his face while he's in a drop top and he just speeds off. So we sent out a tweet saying, Jaguars are up by 50, or can't believe we're beating the Colts by 50, and it was the GIF of 50 Cent just speeding off, like laughing as he was doing it. And we actually, we got a lot of retweets on that one. We got a lot of great engagement and traction on that, and just even thinking about it, just it cracks me up.
Oh, that feeling when you have the perfect GIF for the moment. That's awesome.
Yep. It worked out well.
Next question for you guys. The platform that performs best for the Jaguars, and why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of a toss between both Facebook and Twitter. I mean, we get the most engagement on Facebook, just in terms of, you know, people generating conversations and subtopics of things that we post. I don't know. I would definitely say Twitter and Facebook are neck and neck, because, you know, we do have, you know, for our demographic, we do, and for our market, we do have a decent following on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's how people, you know, get their news the fastest from us, is definitely on Twitter.
And speaking of Twitter, I just want to give a quick shout-out. I know there's a whole shout-out text we're about to get to, but mm-hmm. to Jaguars Twitter. So if anyone from Jaguars Twitter is listening, we love you. You guys are fantastic. I can't thank you guys enough for how many times, you know, someone would throw a jab at us, and then all of a sudden you literally will have thousands of Jaguars fans tweeting directly at the person, whether it be Sean Merriman trying to make fun of the situation when Maurice Jones-Drew laid him out, or something as just a simple jab at our team. The thing is with our team and Jaguars Twitter specifically is we're allowed to bash one another, but if someone bashes one of us from the outside, you're going to have a whole entire pack of angry Jaguars Twitter fans attacking you and holding down the fort and making sure that you know, the Jaguars are held in the right respect that they're supposed to be. So I just want to take a second to thank Jaguars Twitter for everything that they do.
Absolutely.
Hey, that's I love hearing that. You got to appreciate the Twitter community for sure. All right, number nine for you, Lauren. I'm looking forward to this one. Obviously, the Cavs just helped break the Cleveland curse, so to speak. But I want to hear, especially when it comes to Browns fans, and when you were there in general, do those fans really think they're cursed?
They do. They really think that they're cursed. And I think that the Cavaliers winning the championship this year just really, I think it's been lifted. I mean, you go and you look online and you see the parade that they had and just, I mean, you would have thought that Cleveland was New York City just based off of that glorious victory. And, you know, I'm so happy for Cleveland that they were finally able to do it, and I think it's opened a lot of doors that I think were closed for a long time. And you know, you see those t-shirts, please give me one before I die. Well, they definitely got one, or at least hopefully a good majority of them got one before they bellied up. But they do. And the Cleveland fan base, I mean, they are strong, very, very, very strong. So I mean, I'm happy for them. I think the championship and their victory, just there's a whole new world of opportunity with Cleveland and hope for them. So it's definitely a beautiful thing to see that in Cleveland.
Oh, that's great. All right, for number 10 for the both of you guys, tell me if I'm going down to Florida, whether it's especially in the Jacksonville area, I guess, what's the best food that I have to get? What's the best food to get down there?
Oh boy, I still can't answer that.
I would probably say, like, if you're coming down here, you need to experience some good southern barbecue. There's tons of really delicious barbecue places around here. I'm talking, like, slow-roasted, 24 hours on a pit, melts-in-your-mouth barbecue. I would definitely say that's a place to start. And then beyond that, there's just a lot of really unique restaurants, especially if you come in the Jacksonville area, that you really can only have that experience here. Anything from some of the local breweries that I personally like going to some even the local restaurants. I bring friends from all across the country and take them to places, and they're just like, I've never had food this good. So I would just say our local restaurants here, but especially the barbecue, it's just on a whole different level down here.
Oh, yeah. It's making me hungry. That sounds really good to me. All right, last one for you guys, and I'd love to hear from both of you. Tell me, unless it's the same answer, tell me who's going to be the Jags' dark horse breakout star in 2016? Who are we going to be talking about?
Ooh.
Breakout.
The dark horse. So not someone too obvious.
I think I'm going to go with Yannick Ngakoue.
Yep. I'd say Yannick and... I'd like to see TJ Yeldon turn it up a little.
Yeah.
I think he's got that potential. He showed us some flashes last season. I think with, you know, the right training camp and getting some wheels in motion there, I think he might be one of those stars you have to watch, just because that speed, man, it's just incredible to watch.
Ah, I love it. I will officially be stashing TJ Yeldon in my fantasy draft queue.
Hey, if you win anything off that, remember where you got that tip.
All right, you guys did a great job in your Laterals with Lauren segment. Now it's your chance to take over the podcast. You guys can both give a shout-out. Tell us someone on social media, on Twitter, theoretically, or a blogger, who they are and why they're worth following.
That's tough because there's so many. I mean, I can't necessarily just give it to one. I mean, going back to the shout-out that Chris gave to our fans, I just really got to give it to our fans. Now, obviously, I can't go through all their entire handles on this podcast, but you know, I really just got to give it back to the fans. I mean, they are so receptive to what we're giving them on a daily basis, and they know that if something as simple as, you know, the radio broadcast not sounding right or they're not getting the audio, they know that they can tweet at Chris or they can tweet at me, and we're going to get on it as soon as possible.
Is there anyone in particular that you guys like to follow, that you learn from, or you like to learn about, you know, what's up and coming in the social media space?
On a personal level, I don't know of any one individual, but I would definitely say, like, following your Mashables and the, you know, that spectrum is really good. But I will go back and step back one second and say, I do have to give a shout out to Uncle Chaps. I don't know if you're aware of his debauchery, I will say, but he is one of the main rallying points when it comes down to Jaguars Twitter. Just a really good down-to-earth guy. Was previously in the military. Thank him for his service right here on the air. But beyond that, he's just a very, very funny follow. Not safe for work at all times, I will say that. But he actually trolled Ian Rapoport to the point where he changed his Twitter account to
Schefter.
Look...
I think it was Schefter.
Or it was Schefter, that's
yeah.
Right, it was Schefter. He changed his Twitter handle to look like Schefty's Twitter handle and put out, can't remember what stat it was, I think it was in regards to the draft of us taking someone or it was free agency, and within minutes, Schefty was on ESPN reporting that, you know, this is what's happening, and, you know, we have this breaking from Jacksonville, and then while he's on the air, you could just see the frustration boil over his face, and his face go red, and goes, yeah, you know, there are some things on Twitter that aren't always true, and that, you know, you just have to make sure that, you know, your followers are truly who they are, and, you know, some of the information is not always valid, and, you know, that happened to me. I fell for one of those trolls, and it was actually Uncle Chap, so.
Oh, that's phenomenal. That's fan dedication right there at its finest.
And I'll tell you right now, if you look up Uncle Chaps and Adam Schefter, there'll probably be that clip on YouTube from ESPN where on the broadcast he's correcting himself, and it was kind of funny to watch because we saw it play out firsthand on Twitter.
Yep.
Oh, totally gonna have to look up that now. All right, and then how about both you guys? Where can we find you, Lauren, and you, Chris, as well as the Jaguars on all over on social?
For Jaguars, it's at Jaguars. For mine, it's L.M. Whitaker. I'll go ahead and spell it out. It's at L-A-U-R-E-N, M as in mom, W-H-I-T-A-K-E-R.
Excellent. How
and
about you, Chris?
For me, I'm at DigitalJag, digital_jag on Twitter, and pretty much all forms of social media. That's what I use if you're interested in seeing a little bit behind the scenes of what it is to be a digital person within the league. That's where you can follow our craziness.
Yep.
That's what this podcast is all about, is getting a little look behind the curtain and see how everything comes together. And it's been such a pleasure speaking with you guys, learning about all things Jags, picking up a little Pokemon lingo myself. I'm ready for football season. And thank you so much again for the time today.
No,
thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Go Jags.
Now you just need to drop a Duval
yeah,
for us.
Yeah, I need a Duval. Come on.
Duval. Oh, gosh.
There we go. You're officially a fan now, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
We'll edit that so it sounds better. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you so much again to Lauren and Chris for being so generous with their time and their knowledge. So much fun picking their brains and hearing some of their stories. And you know they're busy this time of year preparing for the preseason and, of course, the long season to come after that. But that'll do it for this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Again, I cannot thank you enough for listening. You can find more episodes and other content at dsmsports.net. And, of course, follow me, your host, Neil Horowitz, on Twitter at njh287. Until next time, this is Neil Horowitz with the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast.